But if you lower your head too much, it'll fall off your face. Okay, so on that note of balancing tshuva tata and tshuva ila, or as we looked at it yesterday, really tefillah tata and tefillah ila, lower level tefillah, where I'm trying to chop weeds and I'm trying to come to a state of shira salev, and then higher level tshuva, which is besimcha, and he mentioned how Shabbos is a zman of tshuva ila, and therefore a person has to prepare himself before Shabbos. And the goal is tshuva ilai ki galticha, that whenever there's a geula, whenever there's an opening of the soul, then tshuva ilai, then I have to do more tshuva. Whenever I feel that I've done tshuva, and now I'm more elevated, so from my new perspective, I'm able to look back at myself and say, wow, what I thought was tshuva could really be a little better. And then you do tshuva again. So this farm talk about tshuva al tshuvasa. That's why the tzaddik is also doing tshuva, even though he's a tzaddik, but I could always be a bigger tzaddik. I could always be more connected to Hashem. Now the challenge is, v'ani tefillah, David says, I am tefillah. And Rabbi Yochanan says, halavai, that a person should daven kol yom kulo. So, halavai what? Halavai leiv nishbar, halavai simcha, halavai both? Can I have two opposing feelings at once? So says the Baal HaTanya, Perek Yud Aleph. We are on page 198, three lines to the bottom. V'amnam lihiyos b'libo ha'achna, hi b'chinas tshuva tata k'nizkar leil. To feel that degree of submissiveness, of achna, of humility, before Hashem, lower level tshuva. V'gama simcha ba'Hashem. And at the same time to feel great joy. Right? Remember how we reconciled yesterday? That's the Mishnah. We don't get up to daven unless we're in a state of kovid rosh, heavy-headedness, which Rashi explained means hachna, bittel, humility. And then the Braisa told us in Maseches Brachos that einom d'lispal al mitoch simcha. So which is it? Does a Jew walk around like a bent chauffeur or like a straight chauffeur? So he said, really, it's both. Is a Jew like a big mountain or a valley? Neither. He's like a small mountain. Har Sinai, as we explained yesterday. I'm able to carry myself erect while at the same time having my eyes cast downwards, reminding myself that I have to be humble before Hashem. Or, like we said from the Kubriner, Rav Moshe of Kubrin, that a chassid has to be able to do three things. To dance without moving, to scream without making a sound, and to stand up straight even when you're bent over. So is it possible, says the Baal HaTanya, that I could have libo be'achna by simcha at the same time, shtayan be'yachad? The answer is yes. It is possible for a Jew to live with conflicting emotions at the same time. For milsa amura bilikute amarim sof perak lamedale. Turn the page. I have already written about this in the first section of Tanya, in the Likute Amarim, the first section of Tanya, at the end of chapter 34. What does he write over there? He writes over there how a person has to be, on the one hand, nivza be'enav, again, has to look at towards himself with like a, you know, questioning glance, like, Adam, yisodo me'afar, v'sofo la'afar, you have so many taivas, you have so many yitzaharas, so man has to be somewhat scornful of himself, and yet he also has to be filled with simcha. He's so happy with who he is. So how does that work? So the Baal HaTanya writes that mamish bebasa achas, a person experiences both these emotions. Towards what aspect of himself is he nivza be'enav? Which part of himself is he always keeping an eye on, looking at with that questioning look? Yes? Okay. So in Baal HaTanya language he says, he's nivza be'enav mitzad haguf. He looks at his body and he wonders, you know, what does the body really want from this world? And he casts a curious glance towards his nefesh habahamis, to use again Baal HaTanya language. So he's nivza be'enav when he looks at his lower aspect of his soul, when he looks at his body, right? He's always trying to look towards it to keep it batal, to keep it in a state of hachna, of humility, that it's just submit itself before Hashem. And at the same time, he's filled with simcha mitzad, the nefesh halukis. He looks towards his inner essence, towards his neshama, and all he sees is what? Is the inner goodness, and that creates a tremendous sense of simcha. Now these two things are happening simultaneously. The same way my guf and neshama live together, these two feelings have to live together. So look what he quotes. He quotes a mimer from the Zohar Kaddosh. It says in the Zohar Kaddosh, in the second chalak of the Zohar, Reish Nun Hei Amad Aleph, Daf Reish Nun Hei Amad Aleph, in the standard print of the Zohar, Chedva Tekiya Belibai Misitra Da V'chulu. What does Chedva mean? Joy, happiness, is what? Is implanted in the heart on this side. So what do you think the other half of that mimer of the Zohar is? What do you think the V'chulu is? So the whole statement of the Zohar obviously is that one side of my heart is filled with joy, and the other side of my heart is filled with some degree of sadness, right? The way the Zohar, the Lashon of the Zohar is Bechia Tekiya Bilibai Misitrada, crying and sadness, right? And a feeling of unworthiness is stuck on Sitrada, one side, Sitrada, this side. Bechia Tekiya Bilibai Misitrada, and joy is stuck in the heart on the other side. How is that possible? Serve Hashem with all your heart, b'shnei yitzrecha, yitzr tov and yitzahara, with the good times and the bad times, right? With the tzad of b'chia and the tzad of chedva. Okay? So yes, the first thing the Baal HaTanya wants us to know is it is absolutely possible for a Jew to embody both of these feelings at the same time. A feeling of hachna, of bittul, of anava, and at the same time, to feel a certain confidence and a certain simcha when one recognizes that I have a nefesh elokis, and that allows me to stand up tall. Furthermore, and now, Chaver, this is probably, in my opinion, my personal favorite part of the sefer of this Igaris Hatshuva. And I think in some ways it's the most powerful and most inspiring part. Okay, so we've worked hard to get here. We climbed through some very difficult passages and Kabbalistic terminology and b'chulu, but now we're here. So let's enjoy. Uvitziruf od ha'amuna v'abitachon. In addition to the fact that I have to look towards myself, on the one hand, I'm scornful, I'm questioning my guf, my nefesh bahamis, I'm constantly fighting battles, I'm constantly trying to suppress. I have a second side, which allows me to feel a little bit more besimcha. I come before Hashem to daven, and I feel that I can because I have a nefesh elokis. But more than that, says the Baal HaTanya, add to this the fact that one has to have emuna and bitachon, lios nachon libo batuach b'Hashem, to be absolutely certain and confident. He chafetz chesed hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. Hashem is not out to get you. Hashem is not out to get you. Hashem did not send a single neshama to this world to fail. That's not the goal. Hashem wants every one of us to be matzliach. He's our biggest fan and he's cheering for us. Like the Lashon of Chafetz Chaim uses in Shmiras HaLashon, Hashem loves you more than you could possibly love yourself. You don't even have a clue who you are. Hashem knows you infinitely better than you know yourself. Hashem loves you more than you could ever love yourself. It's Yartzeit of Chafetz Chaim this week. So we have to believe that Hashem is a melech who's what? Who's Chafetz Chesed Hu. He desires goodness for us. He wants to do kindness towards us. He wants us to live like the Mashviya spoke about yesterday. We also want to live. V'chanun v'racham rav l'slavach. And Hashem is abundant in His mercy and His willingness to forgive. So much so that teikav umiyad shemavakish mechila uslicha miito yisbarach. That immediately, as soon as a person asks for forgiveness, he quotes in parentheses several psukim in Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph. Kerov rachamecha mechei fishahai. Kabseini. Tahareini. A Jew cries out to Hashem, cleanse me, purify me. Bechol avonosai mechei. Erase all my sins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds immediately. Take of umiyad. Beli shum safek usveik sveik abolam. A Jew has to approach tshuva not as this might work, this could work, if I try hard enough, it will work. I have to approach it, again, the Lashon of the Baal HaTanya, Nachon Libo Batuach BaHashem. That what? Beli Shum Safek Usveik Sveika BaOlam. That tshuva is an absolute metzias. You have to believe that it's possible to erase every trace of it. Yeah, but I still think about the time I did that Aveira, and I still feel uncomfortable. Then I didn't do tshuva yet. Because if you really do tshuva, if you believe in tshuva, you don't have to feel bad about it at all. It's gone. It's completely gone. Completely erased. Maybe it even becomes a mitzvah if your tshuva is on such a high level. Now, look what he says here. He says, you want a halachic proof that tshuva works? You want to know how every single day we express our absolute belief in tshuva? I love this. Look what he says. Moshe anu mevarchin b'chol tefilas shmona esrei. Take of shemavakshim, salach lanu, baruch atah Hashem chanun amar beli slavach. We make a bracha in shmona esrei, that what? That Hashem will forgive us. V'harei sofik brachos lahakel. We have a klal. If there's any doubt about something, right? I'm not sure if it's a mitzvah. I'm not sure if I already did the mitzvah and made the bracha already. If there's any suffix, legabe a bracha, since brachos are derabanan, right? With a few exceptions, since the general category called brachos is a derabanan. So we have a rule: suffix brachos lahakel, mishum chashash brachos levatala. So how is it possible that I get up multiple times a day and I make a bracha that Hashem is going to forgive me? How can I make that bracha while at the same time in my heart I feel like, yeah, Hashem's going to forgive, you know, my friend, but He's not going to forgive me? Ela ein kan shum safek klal. The very fact that we make a bracha on tshuva indicates that there is no doubt in our mind that this is going to work and that Hashem desires this. Me'achar shebikashnu slach lanu mechal lanu. That when we say, slach lanu, mechal lanu, when we utter those words, we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment is forgiving us. So much so that I'll make a bracha on it. V'ilu lo hayinu chozer mechotim hayinu nigalin miyad. And if we would just stick it out, if we could just hold on to that madrega, if we could just stay clean, not get dirty again, playing in the mud, then what? Then we could immediately have the gula. K'mo she'anu mevarchin baruch ata Hashem goel Yisrael. That's why we can have a bracha on geula that is so closely placed next to the bracha for slicha. Because if we would believe in the power of tshuva, and if we would hold on to that tshuva that we actually receive, right, instead of trying to build off of, well, yesterday was a bad day, so what? It's a totally new day. I was just born today, hayom. Rosh Hashanah is called hayom, today. Atam nitzavim hayom, kulchem. Why do you think we read nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah? You're standing here today, hayom. Start now, start fresh. Believe that it's possible to start over and hold on to those madrigos and believe that you can bring the gula. If you look at the course of your life through the lens of no tshuva, so you say, I'm already making a mess. I'm not bringing Mashiach. But if I start my life right now, if I reset everything, if tshuva works, which it does, then baruch atah Hashem, there can be gula. This is true even amongst people. That if I ask someone for forgiveness, the right thing to do is that the person should grant it to me right away. A person who asks for forgiveness should forgive right away. Shouldn't be cruel, shouldn't hold back. Achzari. Shouldn't be cruel to grant mechila. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma, at the end of the 8th parak, says, "Va'afilu b'koteya yad chaveyor." Can you imagine? Rachmana Litzlan, that it was your fault. You were responsible for cutting off another person's hand. It's not growing back. Right? And now the person comes and he says, "I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did." Now, the damage can never be undone. Right? What's done is done. And yet the Gemara assumes that a person has to be prepared to be mochel this individual. Even though it's so tangible what he did to you. And it impacts your life so directly. So if a person who's truly hurt by you has to be willing to forgive, so do you think that Hashem can maybe find it within his heart, kiviyachol, to forgive us? Hashem, who's not actually hurt by us, even when we do averos, I know that's a dangerous thing to say, but look what he writes. V'imbikish medo gimel pamim. If you ask your friend three times, "Please forgive me," "No, please forgive me," "No, please forgive me," "No." V'lo macholo, shuv ein tzarach lavak ish mimenu. Once you've asked three times to be forgiven, and your friend refuses to forgive you, so then at that point a person's allowed to say, "I've done my part, Hashem will take care of the rest, and I no longer need to ask." V'hagiv onim. If you remember in Shmuel Beis, in Perechaf Aleph, when David HaMelech comes and he asks, "Shebikesh David HaMelech olav ha-shalom mehem mechila ba'ad shal, sheheim es ha-givonim, v'lo ratzu limcho," and the givonim refused to grant that mechila, to accept and to offer that forgiveness. Gazar David aleihem shel yavo bekahal Hashem sheheim rachmanim v'chulu k'di'isa b'pereches diavamis. We know that the three outstanding traits of every Jew, and anyone who wants to have a shaychus to the Jewish people, you have to have three traits. You have to be rachmanim, merciful. The Gemara in Yavamis. Baishanim, you have to have busha, you have to have shame. You won't do everything and anything. I'll pay $1 million if I'm a Jew. There's some things I don't do. I can't do that. Right? There are people in the world who, for the right price, will do anything. A Jew has to have busha. It's a sign of a Jew. And the third sign of a Jew is gomlei chasadim, that we do acts of kindness. Jewish chesed. Olam chesed yibana. To partner with Hashem in building the world through chesed. Okay, those are the three signs of a Jew. Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. So, the Gemara says over there in Yavamis, on Ayin Ches, Ayin Tes, end of the 8th Perek, it says that David HaMelech asked the Givonim for Mechila, and they said no. So David was Gozer Aleihem, that they're not allowed to what? To join Shlo Yavo B'Kahal Hashem. That they're not allowed to become part of the Jewish people. Because they have a character trait, which is the antithesis of what it means to be a Jew. You hear? They're locked out. They're not able to be part of the Jewish people because they lack that basic trait of rachmanis. When someone asks you for forgiveness, you say yes. But he chopped off my hand, says the Gemara in Bava Kama, find it in your heart to forgive him. Okay? So obviously, if this is true about a Basar V'dam, Uvamida Sakadosh Baruch Hu Al Achas Kama V'Kama Le'ein Kates. That's what the abbreviation stands for. Al Achas Kama V'Kama. Infinite amount of times over. If a human being, if Torah believes that a human being who has all of those bad character traits inside can overcome and can forgive even the most horrible offenses caused to you by another human being. So al-achas kama v'kama, a million times over. Right? A billion times over. There's no number that we could put on it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be willing to forgive. And that which we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we make a bracha that Hashem, you are Chanun Hamar Beli Slavach. The emphasis, the magic word is Hamar Be. Because unlike a Basar V'dam, unlike a human being of flesh and blood, if he's been wrong too many times, he just won't be able to find that inner strength to forgive. Everyone has their breaking point. However, when it comes to Hashem, he's marbe. He's marbe l'slach. Hamarbe daika, like it says in Sefer Ezra in Parak Yud. When Ezra is trying to convince people who have strayed so far from Hashem, who have married non-Jewish women, who don't know the first thing about Torah, right? And Ezra's convincing them and showing them, look, Hashem is willing to work with you. If you did these number of offenses to another human being, they'd be done with you. But Hashem's not. Hashem is marbe l'slach, v'rav l'slach. Look what he writes. Dahainu, shebemidas baser v'dam imyach leish leish ubikesh imenu mechila umachalo v'achakach chazur l'suro. If I come to a person and I do something that insults them and I apologize and they say you're forgiven, and then I do it again to them and they say you're forgiven, and I do it a third time and they say you're forgiven, at some point they're going to say, get out of my face, you're obviously not sincere. I lent you money, you said you'll pay me back. I lent you a second time, you said you'll pay me back. I lent you a third time, you said you'll pay me back. And every single time you default on the loan, at some point I'm going to say, I'm done with you. And that's how we feel every year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. After everything, and last year when I thought I was really saying it, and now I'm back here again. So at some point Hashem is going to slam the door and laugh in my face. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rav Lislavach. Take a look. By a human being, it's difficult to forgive a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Aval, three lines from the bottom. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between the first time and the thousandth time. Because Hashem's willingness to forgive is based on the midah of rachamim. Hashem has mercy upon us. And Hashem, every midah of Hashem is endless. Umidosav hakadoshos einan bebechinas gvul v'tachlus el bechinas ein sof. Every aspect of Hashem is eternal. Every aspect of Hashem is endless. And therefore, by a human being, his Rachmanis only goes so far. If he doesn't have any Rachmanis, then he's not even a Jew. The Rambam says, you meet a Jew who has no Rachmanis, you should look into his lineage. He might not actually be Jewish. It's an indicator that he might not actually be Jewish. But even a Jew who has Rachmanis has his limits. We have to try to constantly have more Rachmanis and more Rachmanis. But at some point, as human beings, we're going to feel, you know, our friend has crossed the line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis, but his Rachmanis is him. It's Ein Sof. It's endless. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you much more seriously than you take yourself on the Yom HaDin. You come in and you're thinking that I got a lot of baggage. Right? Especially if it was like a bad year. It wasn't one of my best years. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you like an innocent child who comes before him. And you say, Hashem, I'm going to get it right this time. Hashem says, yeah, sure. I believe you. You barely believe yourself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he can forgive and he will forgive. And we make a barach on it because there's no suffix in the room. Okay, Jack, you've been very patient.
When you say Hashem is going to forgive us,
right now. Start over. Clean slate.
There's so many people that, like, do bad. They obviously, you get, like, the whole, like...
Right.
Right. But even people that, like, do bad things and they don't say, like, how can we, like, justify that? That people are...
Right, so the basic answer, the basic mistake that we make is we think that if you get put in the book of death, that means you drop dead immediately, or you die... Right? Now, we sort of touched on that earlier in the Sefer when we spoke about why people can get kares and actually beat the system, bismanism. Why that system has changed. But the truth is, the book of death... See, people sometimes... I don't want to take away from what people say it, because it's a chizik to people. Right? Like, if you think about it, right? If we make it, Mirz Hashem, Halavai, everyone should be safe and well, and we make it to Rosh Hashanah again, so we say, that means that last year in Rosh Hashanah, I was definitely in which book? Book of Life. I made it through the year. Not necessarily. To be put in the Book of Life means a lot of different things, but one piece that we sometimes miss, and the Rambam and the Ravid address this, to be put in the Book of Life, or let's say the opposite, so God forbid, be put in the Book of Death, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die immediately. It might mean that when you were born, you were expected to live 95 years. And last year, you failed, and Hashem says, now I'm lowering it to 92 years. That's being put in the Book of Death. Right? If you do another bad year, maybe it'll be lowered to 88 years.
You can get those 3 years back or not?
Of course you can get those years back.
Do you want those 3 years?
That's why the Gemara says, Tshuva.
95.
We had a Sunday, we were sitting here, we learned that piece of Mitzlach. The Rav from Shur quoted it. I know. That what? That Tshuva is Ma'arich lo Yama Vushinosa. Tshuva increases a person's life. The Gemara in Yoma. So yes, you can get those years back. But don't come to Rosh Hashanah saying, well, I made it last year, I'm going to make it again. You have no idea if you made it last year. It could be last year you made it so much that Hashem added years to your life. It could be you were supposed to, God forbid, die at a younger age. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you had a good year, I'm giving you an extra 20 years of life. Okay? But it's a loaded question that you're asking. It's an important question. There's a lot of misconceptions about it. I only know a little bit about it myself. But I used to think, I didn't understand that. It's a very basic question, right? If Hitler's a bad guy, so how does he make it from 1 year to the next? Okay, but again, it's totally on a lot of layers of things. I see a lot of hands going up. Yes, Rami? What about a person who doesn't get Olam Haba? Yeah. Ain lo chelik Olam Haba. What about it? They never what?
They never got any, like, there's no.
You're saying it seems that Hashem also has his limits, right? So, that's also a very loaded question. I have to somehow balance kares, which the rope snaps, right, as we learn, with lo yidach vimenu nidach, that no dispersed Jew will be dispersed, that everyone's going to come back. So how does that work, right? Is kares a reality, or is kares like a joke? There's no such thing as kares. So, that's both, yeah. Yoni says both. The two parts of the heart. Chedva on one side and Bechi on the other side. And that's a good question. It's a very fair question. You're telling me here that Hashem has no limits. It's simply not true. It seems to be simply not true. I'll point out, the Lubavitcher Rebbe actually sort of raised your question. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has his Shiurim and Biurim on the Igeres HaTshuva. So in there he raises a question from a Medrash and a Rashi in Parshas Korach. Because it says that by Korach, Moshe says, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the Sirchon Revi. Maybe this is the fourth degree, the fourth level of failure. And maybe Hashem's not going to be Mochel. So what does that mean? What about the Gemara in Yoma that says a person does an Aveira, right? And Hashem forgives him. But by the fourth time, the Gemara says, Ein Mochlin Lo. Hashem doesn't forgive him. So hold on a second. Balatanya's, I mean, it's very inspiring what he's saying, but is it true? We have Karis, we have this Medrash, we have this Rashi in Korach, we have the Gemara in Yom HaPevav, that Hashem seems to have his limits. So the Baba Chobi answered, and again, I'm just giving it to you very much al regalachas, which is really not a fair way to give it to you, but the way he answered it is as follows. He says, there is Slicha that is within limits, and there is Slicha that has no limits. I guess the easiest way to say it is like this. I'll introduce you to an idea that Hasidus really clarified and innovated. Can we understand Hashem? Do we know anything about God? Right? So Yitzchak Batra says, no, we don't. Okay, so how do we talk about God?
Character.
So the Rambam, but that's not, I mean, we don't really know that. So the Rambam, and many, you know, earlier philosophers, Jewish and not, spoke about the concept of negative theology, which is understanding what God is not. I can't say what God is, I can only tell you what He's not. Okay? I can't know Him directly enough to be able to say what He is. Now, the Chiddush of Chassidus said that's wrong in two directions. You absolutely can know Him, and you can't even not know Him. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at His essence, you can't even say what He's not. You can't say anything about Him. You can't even understand Him through what He's not. Right? That's the Sovev Kol Alma. That's the Hashem who's you know, surrounds and is beyond. That we have no understanding of. I can't even say God is not this or God is not that. Right? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's Mamale Kol Alman, the Hashem that fills all of reality, is so imminent, is so present, that I actually can say positive about Him. Hashem is nice, Hashem is kind, Hashem is etc. Okay? So I think, and again, it's a big sugya, but I think al regal achas, that's what the Lubavitcher is saying here. Right? There's a lower reality with which we operate, and that's sort of the theme of this chapter, right? This parak is about living with multiple realities. How can I be humble and besimcha at the same time? Mamish at the same time. So how can I recognize that Hashem is absolutely real in my life, and at the same time to be able to say, I know nothing about Hashem. I can't even begin to say in words the first thing about Hashem. And yet I can talk to Him like He's my best friend. How do I have those two things at the same time? So that's what the Baal Shevi says. He says, when you read these Gemaras, you read the Rashi, you read the Medrash, that says that Hashem has limits. There is a way that Hashem expresses Himself. There is a reality by which Hashem interacts with the world, where Hashem presents Himself as being limited. Tzimtzum. Hashem constricted Himself to allow Himself to be filtered, so to speak, in a more limited fashion. But then there's a higher reality. The higher reality is what? That Hashem is Amar B'Lislavach. That Hashem, Be'etzem, is Ein Sof, He's endless, there are no limits, and therefore His Rachmanis knows no limits. Okay? But again, these are very hard questions, and it's very hard to tackle them al regalach. Okay, let's hear one more quick question. Yeah?
You know how we learn that every generation becomes less and less like holy or close to Hashem?
There is a notion of Yerida Sadoros. Yeah. Generations go down.
So why is it?
But they also go up. That's also a paradox. Right? We're worse and we're better.
But as time goes on,
we're worse and we're better.
But the rate of living is actually increasing, and like in the future.
So he gave us the. He told us that's bad. He said it's because we're cheating. We're eating donuts and ice cream. Right? Going back to our muscle. Yeah. We're living off of unhealthy things.
Yeah, wouldn't that like. No, we're like science.
Saying spiritually, I mean, we have to physically be living off unhealthy things also, but spiritually, We're spiritually living.
We're not taking our nourishment from Hashem, so why are we alone here? Like,
because we're wasting our all of hab in this world. It's not good. Again, it could be good, but it's not necessarily an indication of something good, the fact that we're living longer. It could be mean that we're feeding ourselves, we're sustaining ourselves, right? In an unhealthy way. Okay, Chaver, I want to go on, because there's a few, still a lot to go here, and I'm running out of time. Okay, turn to the top of the next page. So Hashem's Rachmanis is endless, as it says in Megillas Eicha and Perek Gimel, Ki lo chalu rachamav. What's the first part of that pasuk? Chaste Hashem, Ki lo sam, Ki lo chalu rachamav. Ulagavi bechinas ein sof, ein hefresh klal, ben mispar katan legadol. Now be careful with this. It's true, but be careful with it. From Hashem's perspective, there's no difference between a little or a lot. From Hashem's endless perspective, does it matter if I do one Avera a year or a million Averas a year? It's still nothing. Compared to Him, it's nothing. Now again, don't let that be an excuse to do Averas. That's the danger side. The positive side is, oh yeah, I did so many Averas. Hashem says, compared to me, just come back to me. The Kula Kamei Kalo Mamish Choshev. That before Him, all of this is nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshaveh Katan V'Gadol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu levels the playing field. There's no big and small by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Lachain, and therefore, Chevra, for some of us, this is the last time we're going to get to learn together. V'Lachain, we're not going to see each other until after Yom Kippur. We got to know this. Ma'avir Ashmoseinu B'chol Shana V'Shana. We come to Yal Noram, we say, Hashem, you're willing to what? Forgive me every single year. We feel uncomfortable because we feel now He must be done with us by now. But just that's such a mistake about who Hashem is. Hashem is Ein Sof. Hashem doesn't look at you and laugh in your face. And all the things that I say year after year after year, every Hashamnu, every Bagadnu, every Alchet, even if I went back to them and I was even worse this year in those things. I go back on Yom Kippur, we talk it out again, and I try my best to be truly sincere right now, and Hashem forgives. And this is not only happening, as we've already seen, it's not happening every year, it's happening every day. That three times a day, I'm making a bracha, bivados, not safek, not sveik sveika, I'm making a bracha with confidence that what? Chanun amar b'al yisloach. Like Chazal say that tefillah k'neged tmidin tiknua. We used to have a karban tamid, which took care of our averos. Now we have tefillah. Tamid shel shachar, I am a chaper el averos halayla. Every morning the tamid shel shachar would take care of any aver I did the previous night. V'tamid shel bein arbaim al shayom. And the tamid shel bein arbaim, the afternoon karban tamid, would correct anything I did during that day. V'chin mide yom b'yom l'olam. And this is how it went every single day. Today we have tefillah in place of karbanos. But let's say I have a big avera, and I don't feel that the daily karban tamid or my daily shmoneh esrei can take care of it. That's where Yom Kippur comes in. The Yom Kippur can erase even the heavy averos. But tamid and the karban tamid, shehu karban ola, is mechaper al mitzvah saseh bovat. The karban tamid was mechaper on the lesser averos. V'chein tefillah b'zman hazeh. That's the way that we clean smaller averas. If I have a bigger avera, going back to the opening brisa that we started with, the Dalet, Chalukah, and Kapara, he only gave us three of them, but the three divisions of Kapara, or four divisions of Kapara, right? That's how Yom Kippur with tshuva and good efforts can take care of that as well. Okay? Ve'ein zeh. Okay, JG, quick.
I was going to say that.
No, you can say.
Why so in
one of my best friends, of course you can say.
Yeah. This door is much harder than the doors of the day that they
got. Correct.
How come then it was so easy to get Kapara? Like
so easy for us, if we believe what we're saying, it's Shmoneh Esrei, right?
You had Kapanas three times a day, as opposed to them, they had Korbanas that were really set for them. Without them even doing anything.
I hear.
It's harder today, and you need to have extra from today.
Okay.
You didn't have to make the korban tamid. That 92Q, right? It was just automatic.
From the tzibur.
Right.
And you made your yearly donations to the base of Mikdash.
It's easier to get kafar for our tests today.
Okay, I have to think about it. I'm not sure.
Ve'ein
zeh echte ve'ashuv. Now he addresses something, one of the scariest Gemaras. The Gemara says that a person who does an Aveira and says, I'm going to sin and then do tshuva. Premeditated sin / tshuva. Echte ve'ashuv. I will sin and I will repent. So, says the Baal Tanya, how about every day when I daven Shmoneh Esrei? Isn't that echta v'ashuv? Are I not planning right now by learning this that if I do averos, I'm going to fix it afterwards? I'm banking on Yom Kippur. I'm banking on Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanunu Marbel Yislavach. Isn't that echta v'ashuv? I'll sin and then repent. He says it's not. Why? Ki einu davka b'shas hachet hayachol lichvosh yitzro. If a person's about to give in to a yitzhar, and he could control that yitzhar. And the reason that he didn't conquer the Yetzirah is simply because, you know what? I know I can just fix it afterwards by doing tshuva. So it's not worth the fight right now. A person who succumbs to the temptation of the Yetzirah, relying shesomich b'libo al tshuva, such a person, about that person, v'lachein ho'el v'atshuva gorem eslo lachtav. Since the tshuva is what caused him to sin. You see why the tshuva caused him to sin?
Yeah.
He could have fought off the Yetzirah, but he said, you know what, it's not worth the fight now, I'll just do tshuva later. So since tshuva was woven into the sin, about such a person we say, ein maspikin. We don't assist such a person to do tshuva. V'af gamzos ein maspikin daika. But even about this person, ein maspikin means what? We don't give him, we don't hand him tshuva. We don't make it easy for him to do tshuva. But even the person who had premeditated sin, because he was planning, I'm going to do tshuva, I'll sin, I'll do tshuva, I'll work it out later. Even that person, imdachak, v'nischazik, v'nisgaber al yitzro, v'asa tshuva, mikablan tshuvasam. The Baal Tanya says you can always do tshuva. You're going to have to work harder. You're going to have to push that much more. Because the tshuva itself is woven into the chay. But even there, with great effort, it is possible for one to overcome. We ask Hashem, I don't want to keep going in this pattern. And on Yom Kippur also, we daven here atzom b'fanecha shelo echtod. So the fact that we say to Hashem, when we do tshuva, right, we're already saying we don't want to use tshuva as a crutch for our averos. We're davening, as we're asking for tshuva, we're saying, I don't want to sin again. So about such a person, okay, that's real tshuva. And therefore, maspikin, we help him as much as we can. Hashem reaches out to that person. K'maimer chazal, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, kuftalid, habalitar misayayin oso, that a person who comes to purify, we help him. Again, the Baal Tani is medayik. Haba, daika. Haba means the second you come, the second you arrive. It's not after you worked everything out, Hashem will help you. The second you show up, you step up to the plate, you enter into that environment, Hashem says, I forgive you. I have to tell you what happened to me in court. Who did I tell? Yeah, I told you. Who did I tell? So when I went to court a couple of days ago to fight my ticket, which, Baruch Hashem, Dida Natzach, we were victorious. It's very good. So I was sitting in the courthouse after I had already negotiated my deal with the prosecutor. So I knew I was going to be dismissed, which itself was a gewaldic vart. Because here I am, sitting before the judge. There are some people who don't know what the psak is. I had already negotiated with the prosecutor. I had already signed that my case was going to be dismissed. I already won. And now I'm sitting there in front of the judge, but I was calm. I was completely calm. Because I knew I was going to be victorious already. So there's a lot there. But I'll tell you what happened when I was sitting there. The judge calls up a fellow. This guy comes before Judge James Young Jr. And he says to him, I see you're here for a couple of different tickets. I see one of the things that you're here for is a parking ticket from 1999. I told you this? I told everyone? I'm here for a parking ticket from 1999? So the guy barely spoke English, but he said yes. And the judge is like, I'm confused. I'm not understanding the information here. You currently live in Texas? So he says, yes, I live in Texas. So he said, you came to New Jersey to settle a parking ticket from 1999 all the way from Texas? And the guy said, yes, I came from Texas. So the judge was very dispelled from that. And he said, I can't, the judge said, I can't even get people from Englewood who are supposed to be here to show up to Teaneck. And you came from Texas. And the judge said, Potter, I'm waiving the ticket, and I'm only giving you a $10 like service charge, whatever, like the minimum shear, you know. And you're Potter. So I was thinking, what's the pshat? A Jew is very far from Hashem. And he feels so uncomfortable coming before Hashem. And he's got a lot of past dues that haven't been paid. And he comes from before Hashem and he says, Hashem's going to clap me over the head. I've been so far for so long and this is so overdue. And Hashem says, you came back to me from so far away? You were willing to travel all the way to come back to me? Potter.
Yeah.
Potter. I'm so impressed. He was so impressed that he had traveled all this way. It would have been so easy to just stay so far away. But, Ketzei HaShemayim, like the Mashpia taught us. If you're still holding on to the edge of the heavens.
Why didn't he just mail in?
I don't know. I'm not that. Tzarachiyah. There's a lot of Tzarachiyah on the story. But it was a beautiful and important lesson. So, however, we need to believe that this works. Habal Litayr, the second you come, the fact that you traveled, the fact that you're willing to try to negotiate, Misayin Oso, Miyad Shaba, as soon as you arrive, and so too, the kapara, the forgiveness, happens what? Also, immediately. Okay? Now, I want to tell you a vart that I thought of the other night. Monday night, I thought of this vart. I was very excited about it. Siyat Deshma, I want to share with you. Karubi Oso Karuf, right? We know that these are days where what? We're entering into days, the Aser Simei Tshuva, where the Gemara says, Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzo, Karubi Oso Karuf. What's that pasuk a reference to? The Aser Simei Tshuva. Call to him when he is close. So Monday night I was thinking, call to him when he is close? Why am I calling to him if he's close? When a person's close, you just speak to them. When a person on the other side of the street, you call to them. Karu implies that you're calling out to him. Why am I screaming? Hashem's standing right in front of me. Why am I screaming? Why am I yelling to Hashem? Calling out to Hashem. Speak to him when he's close. I can whisper to him when he's close. Right? Why am I calling to him? Karuhu bioso karu. Call him when he's close. So I think the vart's like this. If you're ever talking to an elderly person, right, who's a little bit hard of hearing, sometimes you can be standing very close to the elderly person, and the elderly person is speaking in a very loud voice. Now, you could hear them more than well enough if they didn't speak in such a loud voice. So why is the elderly person speaking in a loud voice? Because, right, the elderly person can't hear himself. So Karubi Oso Karov is speaking to us, right? Hashem can hear us perfectly clearly. Hashem is willing to forgive us. Hashem feels close to us. The problem is, right, we can't hear ourselves. What does that mean? We might be saying the words, but we're not, it's not registering. I mean, I'm saying every day, Abrocha, Chanunim, Arbeli, Slavach. But it's not registering that that's real, that that's happening. So Hashem hears it. Hashem gets it. We're speaking in a loud voice. We're calling out to Hashem. Right? Like the elderly person, it's not for the grandchild who's standing there with the grandmother. The grandchild can hear perfectly fine. The grandmother needs to say it loud enough that she can be convinced that she's actually speaking. So when we call out to Hashem, when he's close, it's not mitzad Hashem. It's call out to Hashem so you can hear it and you can actually believe it. And that's like the Baal Tanya is trying to teach us. This is real. Maspikin lo habalatar, you step right in before Hashem. Hashem's already jumping with joy. You traveled from Texas to deal with a ticket from 1999. Hashem's thrilled with you. Okay. That's my var on Karubi Oso Karov. Now, let's finish up the parak. Four lines from that. This is also super powerful. Another pasuk that without chasidus is very frightening. You read the words of David HaMelech, Tilim Nun Aleph, my sins have to be before me at all times. So what does negdi mean? What does before me mean? It does not mean to walk around with the weight of your averas resting on your shoulders, feeling crushed by it, feeling depressed by it. That every time you blink, you see that image before your eyes of that avera that you're embarrassed of. That's not what negdi means. Opposite me doesn't literally have to be right in my face. The aksiv basar, because it says afterwards, it says, your sins should be opposite you always. And then, the couple of psukim later, it says what? Tashmi eini sason v'simcha. And then a couple of psukim later it says, V'ruach nidiva tismecheini. So it sounds like you're pretty upbeat. So how can I be so upbeat if chatasi negdi tamid, my sins are right in front of my face? How can I walk around feeling enveloped and supported and enveloped in the spirit of sason and simcha? So he says, Mishum, shetzarach lios kol yama b'tshuva ilah, turn the page. Since a person needs, final page for today, since a person needs to be in a state of tshuva ilah all the time, and tshuva ilah demands simcha. So how do I carry my averas around which make me sad and be b'simcha at the same time? Ele negdi daika, he says, very interesting, look at his bekiyas here. Neged, shuvisi Hashem le negdi tamid. That could be right in front of you. Neged, yes, neged means opposite you. Mamish, panim el panim, face to face. So should my sins also be negdi tamid, right in my face? No, he says. Negdi could also mean at a distance. Like we find in Shmuel Beis, va'ata tisyatzev mi neged. Or the pasuk in Bamidbar, mi neged saviv la'oel moed yachanu. Says Rashi, that you should camp opposite the oel moed, mirachok, from a distance. So the Baal Tani is giving us a very healthy way to not lose sight of our averos, to deal with them properly, to not ignore whatever illnesses we may have, but at the same time, don't let it crush you. V'amechuvan rak lebilti rom levavam lios shafel ruach b'fnei kol ha'adam k'shiyal zichron bein einav shechata neged Hashem. You know how you use your averos to help you? You don't use it to make you depressed. You use it to what? To not be a Baal Gaiva when you're interacting with others. Because now you're such a stark Jew, you're such a serious guy, and you look at some other person who's not as from as you, and you look down upon them. So says the Baal Tanya, whoa, slow down, buddy. Chatasi negdi tamid. Think about some of your own averas, and you're not going to look down on someone else. That's how we use our averas. To be shafel b'fnei kol adam, when I remind myself that I'm also a sinner, I also made mistakes. And from Hashem's perspective, a lot or a little, it doesn't really make a difference. We're in the same category. And I can actually use my averos to be besimcha, because when I get a flat tire, instead of being all depressed and bent out of shape, why does this happen to me? I'm filled with simcha. You know why? Because I'm thinking, I did averos. I know I did averos. Wow. Halavai, this flat tire just paid off some of my averos. I'm filled with simcha. That all of life's experiences and all of the feelings that one has, they come to him from Shemayim. Whether it comes from a person, whether it comes from something in the natural world, whatever it is, I should realize I have averos, and hopefully this will help me to not have to answer for those averos one day. And this will make you a nicer Jew, a more patient Jew, a Jew who's more respectful of others, right? A Jew who's not embittered. Because you realize, I made mistakes, and this is helping me. Concludes the Baal HaTanya, like it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Pechesim and Beis, Hane'alavim ve'ein an'ovin, Shomim cherpasim ve'ein mashivim, Osim me'ava, V'smeichim bi'yisurim. It describes a person who hears his insults, and it doesn't bother him, because he feels like it's from Hashem. And he's able to mekabel yisurim ba'ava, because he says, I'd rather pay it off in this world than have to answer for it in the next world. And then I'll become the type of person, says the Baal Tanya, Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, Kol HaMavir Amidosav, Mavir Lo Kol Peshav. A person who's willing to forgo his honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll forgo my honor and forgive you for the averus that you've done. So these are really some unbelievable approaches and techniques. Again, first and foremost, to realize that there's no suffix whatsoever. That when we come to the davening, every single day of our lives, and we come to the davening on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and we ask for slicha. We're asking, but it's asking with confidence that it's going to happen. We're making a bracha on it because we're absolutely convinced that it's going to happen. Some tzaddikim used to say it a little differently. They would say, I always compare it to an experience I had in fourth grade. I'm waiting on line by the water fountain in school, and some kid decides. You remember this? And some kid decides he wants to cut to the front of the line. Right? And he's a wise guy. So what does he do? He walks to the front of the line and says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro. Alright. I don't want the Avera. Go ahead. Take a drink. So the Sfarim say that's what we do to Hashem on Yom Kippur. We make a bracha on tshuva. Now what are you going to do, Hashem? You're not going to forgive me. It's on your head. So we force Hashem to give us tshuva by making a bracha. It's a great move. It's a great move. I want to end with a story from the Rishner. Prashus. In the there's little biographies called Migdolei HaTorah VaChasidus by Avram Bromberg. So in his volume on the Rishner, he tells the following story. He says that Rav Yaakov Emdin had a grandson who unfortunately had strayed from the path of Yiddishkeit. And he was in Odessa. Odessa was a large city in the Ukraine, as Rav Weinberger mentioned yesterday. And the Rishner came to Odessa and he met this fellow. And he saw that he was an impoverished person and he was completely disconnected from his Yiddishkeit. So the Rishner, Rav Yisrael Rishner, who was a big tzaddik and was a person of means, said, "Come, you'll come live by me. I'll take you in. You won't have to worry about where your food's coming from. I'll get you some nice clothing." Right? Knowing that he'll provide for him beruchnias, ubegashmis. That'll be able to, you know, put food in front of him and give him clothing, but also to revive his spirit and to bring help him be chozer b'tshuva. So he agreed. The fellow came along with the Rishner, and he was chozer b'tshuva. Now it happens to be this young man, before he left the path of Yiddishkeit, he was a very, very sharp person. Very Yiluyish a person. His name was Meir. So he said one time, after he was chozer b'tshuva, he comes crying to the Rishner. And he says, "Rebbe, I can't do this." Rebbe says, "What's wrong?" He says, "You know, I have so many, I'm thinking about all the averas I did when I was off. When I had left the path. And I did so many things, and I don't feel that I can come back. And I, even if you'll tell me I did tshuva, but I feel like I'm slipping back in certain things. And I don't feel comfortable coming before Hashem again." So the Rishner says to him, "Listen, Meir, hein omer malecha shincha iloi, v'lamdin gadol. You're shtickle lamdin, no? So let's talk in Gemara, let's talk in lamdus. Let's talk in learning." He says the following. In the Yom Noram, when we daven, part of the bracha, when we talk about Hashem's willingness to forgive us, we say that Hashem, ki ata solchan, according to some, I think Svardim say solchan, right? Umachlan l'shivte yeshurun. Hashem, you're soleach and mochel, the Jewish people, you forgive us. But he used the lashon of solchan, umachlan. So he says, "Meir, you learned Bava Metzia?" He says, yes, Rabbi, I learned Bava Metzia once upon a time. So he says, "Do you remember how the Gemara in Bava Metzia explains the pasuk in Mishpatim? The pasuk in Mishpatim says, if you see someone who has an animal, and the animal is rovets tachas masa'o, azov tazov imo. You see this person's animal collapsing under its weight, so what do you need to do? Azov tazov imo, you need to help him out." The Gemara says, on the word rovets, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Lamed Gimel Darshins, rovets below ravtzon. Rovates below ravtzon. What does that mean? Rashi explains, ravtzon haragil bakach. Meaning, if a person one time overloaded his animal and it's collapsing, you have to help him. But if this guy every single time is irresponsible, if he's a ravtzon, if he always burdens his animal, then you, if the animal's always collapsing, right, then that's not your achayis. If it's rovates tachas maso, it's your achayis. If it's ravtzon, it's not your achayis. So he says, "What do you see? Ravtzon means what?" "No, Meryl, what does Ravson mean?" So he says, "Ravson means haragil bakach." So he says, "Exactly. What do we say about Hashem? We don't say that Hashem is so leach v'mochel. We say much stronger than that, Yom Noram. We say that Hashem is what? Salchan u'machlan. Right? Hashem's not so leach u'mochel. We add that nun, which means what? Hashem is ragil bakach. Which means the Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you over and over and over again. If we would have said Soleach u'mochel, then Hashem has his limits. But as we learned today from the Baal HaTanya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have limits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always willing to forgive. Karu b'yoso karav, scream so that you'll believe it finally. Because by Hashem, it's a davar pashut. Katan v'gadol, it's the same thing by Hashem. L'um azo, salchan u'mochlan. Balaharos, shagam im adam chote harbe pa'amim. Even if it's every year I have to come back and do it again and again and again, maybe Hashem is getting tired of it by now. Right? Hashem is solchan. Hashem is willing to forgive. Ragil bakach. He'll forgive you again and again and again and again. And in this way, the Rishner was able to mechazek this grandson of Rav Yaakov Emdin and to give him the chizuk he needs to stay on the path. So Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to believe it and make a bracha on it. It's a halachic fact, it's a reality. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not lose patience with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never laughs at us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on us. And Amir Tzashem, if we can believe that, Be'emes, Uvelev Shalim, that Amir Tzashem, we will return to Hashem, and we'll be able to maintain those Madregos, not only by the Yom Noram, but throughout the entire year and our entire lives. Shkoyach.